Good evening. I would invite everyone to open their Bibles to the 107th Psalm. We're going to begin by looking at the scripture reading from this evening. There in Psalm 107 and verse 1, as Dylan read for us, it begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." I want to thank him for reading that. I also want to thank Ethan for the songs that he led us in, preparing our minds for what we're going to be studying this evening. This evening, we're going to be looking at the subject of gratitude. It's a timely lesson. We've come to that time of the year where we as a nation set aside time. We set aside the holiday of Thanksgiving, a time when we are to gather with family and focus on giving thanks for the things in our lives. And as I was looking through this and kind of researching the origins of the holiday of Thanksgiving in this country, it was begun by Abraham Lincoln. He issued a declaration on October 3rd of 1863, and I'm going to read part of that declaration now. He says, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe a day of Thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." And so as we see this proclamation given that a day should be set aside for Thanksgiving, we see a very proper attitude by President Lincoln in giving this declaration that thanks should be given to God, our beneficent Father that dwelleth in the heavens, a statement that the president probably cannot make today, but we see his spiritual focus at that time. And as we look around us in this nation, really in the world as a whole, being thankful and possessing a spirit of gratitude is unfortunately in shorter and shorter supply today. For many people, being thankful, being grateful, doesn't extend much further than a couple days in November that we just passed. But for us, for the individual that seeks to be pleasing to God, we're going to see from the scriptures that gratitude must be an essential part of our lives. And so today we're gonna go to the scriptures, we're gonna see what they say about gratitude, we're gonna examine this attitude, and then we're gonna examine ourselves to see whether we possess a spirit that is pleasing to God, whether we possess the proper amount of thankfulness and the proper amount of gratitude. So as we begin this study, we wanna to define what we're talking about. What does gratitude mean? And I think most of us know it's a pretty simple definition, but we see gratitude as the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness, appreciation of benefits received. So the idea basically is it is the idea of being thankful, having an appreciation for what we have received. But there's two aspects that I want to look at when we look at this definition, so we have a proper understanding of what we need to possess. The first part of gratitude is we have to acknowledge that we have received something from someone else. We have been given something from someone else. And then the second part that must go hand in hand with it is we must have an appreciation for that thing that we've been given. We see the definition of appreciation here, thinking warmly or positively on things we have received and acknowledging that they are from others. We have to both acknowledge we've been given something, and we have to appreciate it. We have to think positively about that thing that we've received in order to be grateful, in order to be thankful. And the second thing we want to look at, again, key to this lesson, gratitude is a quality. It is not something that some people are born with and some people are not born with. It's something that each of us can possess. And it's a quality that has to be developed. Anyone can have gratitude. Anyone can have a grateful spirit, a thankful spirit, if they dedicate themselves to working toward it, to growing it, to building it up in ourselves. And so with that idea in the back of our minds that it is certainly something that we can grow in, it is something we can develop, let's look at what the scriptures say about gratitude. And the first and foremost, the thing we want to look at is that gratitude is commanded by God. For the one who is to be pleasing to God, God has commanded him to be grateful. If you'll turn over a couple pages to the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100, we'll begin reading in verse 3. It says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Written as clearly as it can be, we are to be thankful to God. We see this reiterated in the New Testament. Turn over with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we will read from verse 15. Here in this passage where we are reading about the characteristics of the new man, of that man who has put on Christ, who has obeyed the gospel and has taken the name of a Christian. In verse 15, we read one of the things we are to do. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. It is commanded of us by God to be thankful. Gratitude, thankfulness is not something we need to try to do, we should hope that we can do, but it is something that we must do. God has commanded us to be a grateful people. Back in the book of Psalms, we see this idea continued. In the 92nd Psalm, in verse 1, the psalmist here tells us, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Again, instruction that it is a good thing to be thankful. It is a good thing in the eyes of God for us to be thankful. And then finally, back in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as this book is concluding, there are several instructions, several admonitions that are given at the conclusion of this book. We see in verse 16, "Rejoice always." In verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." And there in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is God's will that we be thankful in everything, it tells us here. Gratitude, thankfulness should be a complete and total part of our lives. It is a command of God, and it is something that we as Christians must be following. Now, as we dig deeper into this, what does that mean to us? We want to dig a little further into both gratitude and ingratitude. What does the scripture say about it? What dangers do we need to avoid? What good things come from it? And so the first thing we're going to look at is ingratitude. To the one who possesses, who lacks thankfulness, who lacks a grateful spirit, but rather has ingratitude in their heart, the Bible warns us of several dangers that we need to be avoiding. Now, as we just said, gratitude is a commandment of God, so therefore the one who does not have gratitude, the one who is full of ingratitude, is displeasing to God. And we see this in the book of Luke. If you'll turn with me there to Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17, we have the account of the 10 lepers who were miraculously cleansed by Jesus. And we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" So we see these men in a terrible condition. They are struck with leprosy, and they are aware of this predicament that they are in, pleading with Jesus to help them. There in verse 13, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," pleading with him. And then Jesus does so. He heals them miraculously. Their leprosy is taken away. They have been healed. They have been made whole. But we see only one of them possesses a thankful spirit. Only one of them stops to return, to go, and to give thanks to God. And we can see the displeasure in the Lord's voice with the questions that he's asking them. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It is expected of us to be grateful of the blessings that God has given to us. We see the displeasure of ingratitude here. When we are not grateful before God, it shows a lack of reverence and fear toward him, toward his power, toward his care, and toward the blessings that he has given to each one of us. And we see that laid out for us here in Luke chapter 17. power of God given to these men to heal them miraculously, and they are not thankful for that. So it is with us. If we are not thankful for the blessings that God has given to us, we are displeasing to God. Another thing we see concerning the dangers of ingratitude. Ingratitude is listed as an attribute of sinners. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here in this list of sins, of characteristics, of attributes that we should, as Christians, have nothing to do with, there in verse 2, the word unthankful is listed. It is considered among sins with blasphemy, with disobedience, with unholiness. All of these things lumped together there with unthankfulness. The one who is unthankful is in sin in God's eyes. And we can see his disgust toward it as it is listed here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Another one of the dangers of ingratitude that we can see from the scripture is that it is often at the core of other sins. It leads to other sin in our lives. Ingratitude and selfishness certainly go hand in hand. If you'll turn back with me to the book of Philippians, where we see selfishness condemned. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. We as Christians are not to be selfish people, not to have that me-first attitude where we only care for ourselves. But we see that that attitude, that me-first attitude, goes hand-in-hand with ingratitude. We see the example of this in the lost son. If you'll turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 15. the account of the parable of the lost son here. The beginning of this account, when we see the lost son speaking to his father, we can see very much a selfish, ungrateful attitude. Beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, we read, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. As we read about the demise of this young man's life at the beginning here, we see selfishness and we see ingratitude. He was not thankful for what was going to be his, what his father had accumulated, what his father had built up that he would inherit at his father's passing. He wasn't thankful for it, but rather he was demanding it. Give me what is mine, is essentially what he says to his father. And we see that selfishness and that ingratitude connected here. Only wanting what is his, that expectation. Selfishness is an attitude that believes things are owed to us. These things are owed to me. And because of that, we can see how that makes us ungrateful. When we're not thankful for what we have, when we're not thankful for what we receive, but rather we have that expectation of things. This is what's due to me. I don't need to be thankful for it. It is what is owed to me. That selfish attitude goes hand in hand with ingratitude. We see another example in the Old Testament of the Israelites. If you'll turn with me to Exodus, the 16th chapter. This is, of course, at a time as they have just been freed after the 10 plagues. They have been freed from terrible slavery in Egypt. God has freed them from that. They are headed to the Promised Land, a time when they should be beyond grateful to what God has done for them. And we see quickly, how quickly they turn and possess this selfish attitude. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 2, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Does that sound like a group of people that are grateful for the blessings they had received? We read of the bondage they were in Egypt, the terrible bondage that the Egyptians had put them under, and God freed them from that. He freed them from that. They were no longer under that bondage. a time when they should have been completely grateful, but they quickly turn to their own needs, to what is expected of them. Why has God not given me food? Why do I not have what I deserve? And we see this attitude, this selfish, sinful attitude that they're possessing, going hand in hand with ingratitude. Another sin we see linked to ingratitude is that of anger. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, we see the Bible condemning anger. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, we'll begin in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. We see selfishness there again. We also see outbursts of wrath and anger. When we lack a heart that is grateful for the things that we have, we begin to develop anger over those things we don't have, over those things we think are owed to us. And we see that ingratitude building into anger. We see that, unfortunately, in the example of Moses and the rock there in Numbers chapter 20, when, again, the Israelites are complaining that they are in the wilderness and they have no water. And the Lord gives instruction to Moses to go and speak to the rock so that water will come forth from it. And we see, if you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 20, we see anger developing in Moses. In Numbers chapter 20, in verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. We can see Moses, in this case, also not being grateful. Though the people were complaining, though they were possessing a spirit of ingratitude, Moses also was not thankful for the Lord's care, for the Lord's provision. We see that anger boiling over, calling them rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? And then he strikes the rock. As God had not commanded him to do. God had commanded him to speak to the rock. And we see again how one sin leads to the other. Let's keep these dangers of ingratitude in our minds. Now, on the flip side of that, actually, there's one more we want to look at. Another danger of ingratitude is that it can strain our relationships. Having a spirit of ingratitude, not being thankful for the people around us, can severely harm our relationships. When we're not grateful to our friends for the help and the care that they provide to us, but rather just treat it as something that they owe us, it's an expectation, you're supposed to do this for me, we're going to strain, we're going to destroy that relationship. Wives who are never appreciative to their husbands for the work they do, for the responsibilities that they carry, rather they treat that as an expectation. This is what you're expected to do. There's no need to be grateful for that. We strain that relationship. Husbands, on the flip side, who never express appreciation and thanks to their wives for the work they do, for their care of the family and the home, rather treat it as their job. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. I don't need to, you know, be appreciative for that. That is another way that we can strain that relationship. In the book of Colossians in chapter 3, we as husbands are given a warning concerning the treatment of our wives. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." We can be bitter toward them. We can strain that relationship when we lack gratitude, when we lack thankfulness for the work they do, for what they are providing for us, for their care that they provide for our family and home. So again, we want to keep in mind a spirit of ingratitude. It will damage the relationships of those around us. Now, as we look on the other side, there are several blessings that are associated with the person who possesses thankfulness, the person who possesses gratitude. We saw earlier on that gratitude is a command of God, and for the child of God that wants to be obedient to him, there's nothing more than that we need. If it is commanded of us by God, it is something that we should do. But what we see, as with most commands given to us by God, there are blessings associated with obeying it. God knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for our lives. And when we look to the scriptures, we can see there's several benefits associated with a grateful heart. The first one that we're going to look at is that a heart that is full of gratitude, a heart that is full of thankfulness, will strengthen our reliance upon God. If you'll turn with me to James, the first chapter. James chapter 1 and verse 17, we read, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." When we have a proper thankful heart, we will realize that every good thing that we have comes from God. Everything we have is given to us by Him, and we should be grateful for that. And when we realize that, when we're constantly mindful of that, when we're constantly going in prayer, as Carter did for us this evening, thanking God for those things that He's given to us, it strengthens our reliance upon Him. It pushes out that thought that everything I have comes from me. I'm taking care of all of this, and it makes us realize that it is, in fact, our Creator and our Redeemer. It is God who is giving us all these things, and it builds that relationship. We, as children of God, should be reliant upon Him, and one of the ways we can build that spirit, build that attitude, is by being grateful to Him for the things that He has given to us. Another thing we see about gratitude is that it reduces anxiety and worry. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 25. "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." When we are grateful to God for what we have, when we're not anxious about these material possessions, these material physical things that we need, it takes away that anxiety. It takes away that worry. We see this also in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Those constantly in a state of anxiety and worry are lacking in gratitude. They don't have that thankfulness. They're worried about what they don't have. They're anxious about what they're missing, about what's coming up. But when we stop worrying about what we don't have and we express gratitude, we express thanks to God for what we do have, we see here in Philippians that anxiety goes away, that worry goes away, and there in verse 7, we have peace. The peace of God will come upon us. Again, one of the blessings of gratitude, the removal of anxiety and the application of peace. We also see that gratitude will help to reorient our focus to the spiritual. If you'll turn over a page to Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things, not on things on the earth." We see a similar exhortation given in Matthew chapter 6 about where our treasure is. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. We read, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When we are constantly grateful to God for our blessings, for the things that He has provided us, we will spend more time focused on the spiritual, focused on worshiping and serving Him, on praying to Him, and less time worrying about the physical, temporary world. We see, again, one of the blessings there, that it helps us to focus on the spiritual. So as we conclude this evening, we want to ask, what are we grateful for? What should we be grateful for? What should we be thankful to God for? And as we go through these, let's examine ourselves and really think, am I grateful to God? Do I thank God for these things? The first one, of course, is our physical blessings, those physical necessities of life that we need. If you'll turn with me to the 37th Psalm, we see God's care for his servants in regard to the physical. In Psalm 37, in verse 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, this parallels an account that we read in Luke about not being anxious for those physical cares of life, for those physical things of life. But we'll begin reading in verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows that we need these physical necessities of life. He knows before we even ask him for them what it is that we need. We need to be thankful to God for giving us those things, for our shelter, for our food, for our clothing, for those physical necessities of life. Let us follow the example of Jesus, as we see in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 and verse 11, there is Jesus is feeding the 5,000. We see in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So we see as the food is being distributed here, we see first that Jesus gives thanks to God for those physical things, for that food that they were about to partake in. Do we do the same? Are we thankful to God for the physical things that he has given to us? Or are we ungrateful? Are we constantly desiring more? Are we constantly looking at things we want, things we wish we had, instead of being grateful for those things that God has given to us? We also need to be grateful for our brethren. As we go throughout the scriptures, throughout the epistles written to the various churches, we see the example of Paul over and over again being thankful for Christians, thankful for brethren. Romans chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. In Ephesians chapter 1, as he writes to the Ephesian brethren in verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. To the Colossian brethren in chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then to the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul was grateful to the brethren all over the world, to Christians all over the world that he had worked with, that he had interacted with. Are we grateful for our brethren, for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that we worship with here, that we work with here? Having fellow Christians to help us on our journey toward heaven is a tremendous blessing. It is one of the greatest blessings that we are given by God, and it's one that we should never take for granted, but rather we should be grateful. We should be thankful for our fellow brothers and sisters that are here. We should acknowledge them, acknowledge their help, as we said at the beginning, and we should appreciate it. We should think positively of their help, of what they do for us, and try to return that in kind. And then, of course, most importantly, are we grateful for our redemption and our salvation? If you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 57, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Over a page in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And then in chapter 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Does that statement represent your attitude, represent how you view the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for your sins, for my sins? The blessing that God has given us, that opportunity to have our sins washed away, to have our sins forgiven by that sacrifice that was made on the cross. Are we grateful for that? This is something we should be grateful for every single day. Thankful to God for that sacrifice that he has made for us. And then, of course, As we read earlier, we see that we are to be grateful for everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. We are to be thankful for everything. There is always something for us to be grateful for. First and foremost, that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that we just talked about. No matter what may be going on in our lives, no matter what difficulties or pain or sorrow we may be enduring, there is always something for which we can give thanks. Now, as we conclude this evening, we have up on the screen Romans chapter 6, verse 23, which reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, when you receive a gift, that is something you're to be thankful for. You're to appreciate that someone has given something for you. And we have all been given a gift, as we have talked about. We have been given that gift, that sacrifice on the cross, so that our sins might be forgiven. But if you have not obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, then this is a gift that you currently have not received, that you currently don't have access to. And so if you need to do so today, if you want to begin that life of thanks unto God for the gift that he's given to you, there's a very clear and simple plan that is laid out in the scriptures for what you need to do. Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 through 17 tells us the first steps. Romans 10 and verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The first step is to hear the word of God and believe it, have faith in it. The next step, if you go up a few verses there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, is to confess. Verse 9, we read that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of God. And then finally, you must turn from those things that are wrong in your life. You must turn from those sins and repent of them and be baptized to wash away those sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it said, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Ethan is about to lead us in the invitation song, "All Things Are Ready." All things are indeed ready. We have a baptistry here that is ready for anyone who needs to be baptized. All that is required of you is to come forward, to obey that plan that was laid out, and to be baptized, to be buried in the waters of baptism, and have your sins washed away. If you need to do that at this time, we would ask that you would please come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation song.